Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
Welcome.
With me.
We're back.
And also P-Flags.
Yeah.
And
welcome.
Also Sips.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Oh, great. I'm all rested up. We had a week off because you were gone, so...
You took that opportunity just to have a sleep, have a snooze.
That's right, yeah. I slept in on the day that we would normally... No, I didn't, and
We got down to business. No, yeah, we got real busy. We got down to business.
Actually? We didn't even stream, actually.
We did.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Business.
We've been struggling. I mean, me and Sips get along great. Like, you know, we have a laugh whenever we meet up. I always enjoy his company. But unfortunately, we have serious disagreements about what games are good and what we enjoy playing. Like, there's just a world of difference between the games that I play and the games that Sips plays. So I know that there will be games that come along that we both love playing, but there just isn't one at the moment that we're both into. Because we're both, I think, the kind of people that are going to be like, nah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, we could just suck it up. I could just play Apex Legends and just deal with it, but I just don't enjoy it.
But it feels like sometimes there's only two games to play. And I went to GDC last week, that's why there was no podcast. And I saw about 200 games that haven't come out yet. And there's so many cool, interesting indies and so many fun little things and so many like different things coming out that are really innovative. And I had a really great time, honestly. And I think it's because I've not really been to one of these things. I didn't go to E3. I didn't really pay attention to Gamescom, what was coming out. I kind of did my own thing. And as a result, didn't really have any vision of what's being made. I don't really, you know, if someone says, well, what game are you excited for this year? I'm like, Cyberpunk? I don't really have any. And also, you know, it's tough to sometimes find a game that's playable for a long period of time with your friends. You know, something that lasts for long enough, but also you can get its hooks into you. And, you know, I've been playing The Division 2 this week, and I've obviously, like, played it a few hours, and I'm what, level 9 character or whatever. So, like, if someone wants to come along and play with me, they have to make a level 1, and then we're at different levels, and then it's really easy for me, and it's hard for them.
Yeah, the scaling in that game doesn't work very well either. I played with somebody who was a couple of levels higher than me, and everything was just one-shotting me. Like, it was frustrating. I mean, it's probably all right now. Like, maybe they fixed it. It's actually a decent game, but... Man, I don't know. Like, I either I'm getting old or there's just nothing like that great out right now. Like, I mean, I like Apex, but yeah, like I can't remember the last time I was excited for a AAA game. Like, I don't. They always seem pretty disappointing when they come out.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? It's just weird.
This is why Hatfields are playing Monopoly and Game of Life.
We played Cluedo.
Yeah, that was awesome. Actually, that was actually
surprisingly fun. But my God, Cluedo.
Yeah,
we were like, how does this work again? Like, we couldn't really remember the rules. But
I think that's kind of the right mantra, though. Like, to just play something different once. But it's tough. Like, I think the reason that these things work is because you know them, right? You know Monopoly. You know Cluedo. You know these things like vaguely. Like, I think when some game comes along and it's called something weird, you're like, oh, am I going to like it? Am I going to hate it? And it's a little bit like with Today I Played, which is the Interpsis thing where we try and play a different game every day. Some of them, I play it for half an hour and I'm like, this game fucking sucks. And I thought it was going to be amazing. And now I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes you play a game for an hour and then you stay up till 2 in the morning playing it.
Yeah.
And it's great. You know, and you know, so I think that it's tough. That's a little bit like life, you know. Sometimes you don't know what that was going to be like until you try it. And, you know, don't be scared to try new things within reason.
Yeah. You know, what you were saying about The Division, couldn't they just have a scaling in where if you're going to party with someone lower level than you, it says everything's going to be scaled back by
you'd think that would be
a certain
case,
amount, as if you had level 2.
Well, yeah. I think it's meant to work that way, but it doesn't always feel like it works that way. I think the system system was designed to be something like that, where, you know, you jump in with somebody who's like a much higher character level than you, and either you scale up to them or they scale somehow down to you or whatever, and it evens out. But I don't know, like, what the one time I tried it, the bad guys seemed like vastly overtuned for where I was at, and I was just getting one shot every time I saw somebody.
I feel like that is unfortunately the game, though. As I was playing it, you know, I found that it felt like you had to headshot a guy four times in order to kill them, and that feels to me like a weird thing in a kind of in the setting of an army style shooter, right?
Yeah, like, I feel like a headshot should just be you're dead. Like, I don't want to shoot a dude in the head four times to kill him. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I mean, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like fucking, we could complain about this shit, the state of games, until we're blue in the face. Like, they're just like, it feels like they're just getting worse, though. Like, the garbage that just, like, it trends with them and stuff like that. I don't know.
Be careful not to just turn into a grumpy old man, though, because that's my fear. That's like what's happening to me, that I'm just becoming grumpy and angry.
I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people would probably agree. If you said something like, games
these days.
It's generalizing, but like, you know, like, think of the games that you play on the regular. Flax, the games you play on the regular are games that are like 10 years old, right? Like, they've been out for a long time. Like, what has come out recently that has really been like, in recent memory for us, playing together as like a group of friends, probably PUBG, right? That was the last time we were all, or maybe Rust.
Yeah, we like played a lot of Rust.
The revival of Rust sort of thing. But you know what I mean? It's really rare that something comes out that's just like, fuck, this is awesome. They nailed it. Like, everything's perfect. It's super fun. I can't stop playing it. I just want to play it all the time sort of thing. Like, I'm a bit
3,
like that with Apex now, but
I go back to Witcher 3 a lot. XCOM 2 was amazing. Witcher 3 was amazing. I mean, those are two of my favorite games of all time. I've been pretty disappointed with Civ games over the last few years when they've come out. I've really enjoyed Hearts of Iron. I put a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
Crusader Kings, when I can be bothered with it, is fun. This new Imperator Rome, everybody's saying, oh, you're going to play that? That looks great. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I'll play it. Sure, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine, yeah.
Squad is a game I really enjoy when I play that, but the problem is getting onto a good server with all my buddies is kind of tricky. It's a bit of a flaky game at times. But, like, there are games that I really enjoy, but generally the games where I'm like, it's perfect. There's nothing I want to change. Witcher 3, XCOM 2... That's pretty much it. Minor changes. RimWorld, I guess. But again, these are all games I've played so much. But after a while, you kind of want to change. You
want
to break.
Yeah. You want something new.
I just can't just pick up games that are like okay and play them. I play them if they're only okay, I'm just done. Like, I want to get hooked. That's what I'm into.
Yeah, same. I'm the same, man. I don't know. WoW was like that. But again, there was like, it wasn't that. I think WoW was a pretty good game. It wasn't incredible, though. But there was just elements that were outside of the scope of WoW that made WoW so great, right? Like in vanilla.
When it came out,
there was nothing else
amazing.
Out at the time that was like anything like it. Except for like EverQuest, but that was like very sort of like, I don't know. I feel like the people that played EverQuest at that time were just like really hardcore nerds. Like,
they were
shut-in
types. They definitely were.
More so than your average WoW player. But I don't know. It's a weird one.
I think it's worth saying that games don't seem to necessarily have evolved in some cases. Like, you know, at GDC, we saw a lot of pixely games. We saw a lot of games that were familiar in some ways. Like, a lot of people are remaking the sort of classic Nintendo 2D or 3D platformers things like, you know, Stardew Valley's done well, so we're going to make our own one, which is slightly different. Or Factorio's done well, so we're going to make Satisfactory, you know. And, like, you know, these types of evolution is what you see a lot of. But I don't know. Yeah, multiplayer is this tricky thing.
Yeah,
like
there's
a lot of people who don't like multiplayer games ruining their games. You know, Fallout 76 is a great example of a multiplayer game.
Like a story-rich, like, single-player experience, which is just, like, had multiplayer seemingly, like, crowbarred into it, I guess, like some people feel. I don't know. I mean, I played Fallout 76 briefly, and it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be, you know, based on, like, what people were saying about it. I don't know. It in a multiplayer game, I don't think you can get away with having really clunky, laggy combat and stuff. Like, in the single-player Fallout games, you can almost forgive it because it's maybe part of the charm somehow. I don't know. Like, it's just a, you know, it's a survival game, and not everything is, like, you know, perfect, so you're just like, oh yeah, you know, maybe my guns are a bit shit and inaccurate or whatever. But when you're playing like against other people, you don't really want that experience, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's hard.
Here's the thing, right? A good game, I think, is anything that you enjoy playing with friends. Okay, like it doesn't have to be a traditionally good game. As long as you, I mean, and we'll play anything, right, with each other because we're hanging out with friends. Like, it doesn't have to be good, but when you find an actual good game,
I don't
game,
know, it does have to be good though. I can't just play a shit game with friends and the only thing keeping me in it is my friends. Like, if it's a really shit game, it'll drive me nuts and I'll stop playing it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be a good game. To me, it has to be good.
At core. At its core.
I don't know.
I do think what's interesting, you saying that games, you know, they're not evolving. I feel like a lot of how games have evolved is quality of life stuff for the player that actually makes the game more bearable but less difficult. Like, I got the Resident Evil 2 remake and I was playing it at the start of the week and I gave up. I played it twice and I've already given up. It's too scary for me. I don't really like scary games.
I love how that's put. I get you though. I couldn't
it's
play
scary.
Resident Evil 7. It was fucking terrifying.
Scary,
like, yeah, but I just love how nonchalantly you put it.
It's too scary.
Like, first of all, it's just too scary for me.
It's too scary. The other problem I've got is one of the things that makes it scary is that you have to manage your inventory so specifically so that there are points in the game where you just have no ammo. And it's like, yep, just deal with that. You've got three shots. And there's a corridor full of zombies. And I'm like, but there's no dodge mechanic in the game. You can bait them towards you a little bit and then maybe go around. But there's no way. I mean, some of them, like the licky zombies, the big brain licky zombies, there's no dodge. Like, your guy jogs at this light pace. Like, there's one point he goes, we better run. And then he's like, because that's the way it would have been on the PlayStation, right? Way back then, they didn't really have the ability, I think, to make characters move very quickly. So you're just like jogging. And I'm like, dude, you're this young police officer. Run past the zombies. But he doesn't. There's no way to shove them. You know, and if you stab them three times, your knife breaks. So you just got to manage this stuff all the time. So that just adds to the stress. And then this guy, Dr. X or something, turns up, Mr. X, who's like this huge figure who stomps around like the Hulk, and he just follows you indefinitely around the map, as far as I can tell, just following you around. And so you can hear this boom, boom, boom of his footsteps getting closer, and he just comes in through the door, and he's just trying to punch you. You just have to run away. You can't kill him, and that's it. The best you can do is flashbang him, and then just run. That's it. You just have to run. So I was like, I'm done. I can't stand this.
You know what? Coming back to what you're saying about inventory and stuff, I think if like the theme of the game is that you're sort of against, you know, against all the odds, you run out of ammo a lot and stuff like that, I can deal with that. But man, I don't know what it is. Like, and again, I struggle because sometimes I think I'm just like getting like older than like the target demographic for these games, and these things are annoying me. A result, or they're just poorly implemented. I can't figure out what it is, but fucking inventory management. I don't know what it is with games nowadays. Like, I was playing this game called Graveyard Keeper, which sounds great, right? It's like Stardew Valley, but you manage a graveyard.
Yeah.
And I was like,
sounds great.
Holy fuck, you know, that's perfect. Like, I could really enjoy this. But the whole game is just so mired in this garbage inventory. Like, you have about six inventory slots. You can pick up everything in the world and none of it does anything. So then when you actually need to pick up like a quest item or something, it's like, oh, do I drop all these fucking Sasquatch dicks that I'm carrying around? I might need them later. Or do I need, you know what I mean? And then it's like,
yeah,
oh fuck, I gotta run back to my house, which is like 10 miles away. I'm in like some sort of fucking sewer or something here. I found something that I need, but of course I have no space for it. And then you go back home to your stash box, which is substantially bigger. And that's just jam-packed full of garbage as well that you're probably never going to use. And it was so fucking frustrating. Like, and it just absolutely spoiled the game for me completely. I just stopped playing it.
I think part of it is that when the gameplay itself is really good and straightforward, like, you know, this is the quest, is it, you know, the action itself is fun.
Yeah.
I don't need the extra layers of shit. Like, one of the things that really annoys me in games, so I get into the game and is like, there's extensive crafting. I'm like, great, Because that means I'm going to have to go around and find the fucking red herb. Then I'm going to have to find this specific rock. And then this, the hair of this specific pony. I'm just like, God, you know, just let me play the game. Like, I miss out on a lot of stuff in a game because I just can't be bothered. It feels more like busy work in World of Warcraft, where it's like, farm 20 boars and you'll get the teeth you need. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
I feel like some games do it really well, though. Like, I never had these problems playing through Subnautica, which was a fantastic experience. Like, I never really remember feeling frustrated with anything. There's never any times where I just had way too much stuff that I didn't know what to do with. You know, you can, like, craft as many lockers as you need and organize your stuff. And there just wasn't too much stuff. You know, there wasn't too many big resource chains to build things or whatever. You know, like, the really big things, yeah, you had to sort of stock up on some materials. But you'd expect that, right? If you're going to build, like, a gigantic nuclear submarine for yourself to fucking go around on, like, sure. But, like, I don't know, like, the pacing, and it just seems like they put a lot of thought into it. It never felt like cumbersome or shitty in any way.
I think it's hard to get right. I think a lot of games put it in because they think you got to have crafting and you got to have inventory, but they don't actually manage it in a fun way. It doesn't feel core. It feels like another chore. It don't feel core. It feels like a chore. There you go.
There you go. There's the strap line for you.
What a motto.
What a motto. It don't feel core. It feels like a chore. Much like this podcast, right? Am I right, guys?
So I had a great time in America.
We don't care. That's why we didn't ask.
I obviously went to... last time I went to GDC.
Where did you go?
To San Francisco. And he made sure that he put a flower in his hair as well.
Nice.
Because he was going.
Do you remember last time we talked about this on the podcast?
Stinky's Peep Show. Summertime.
And I got kind of a bit, not harassed, or like I was like a homeless magnet. Do you remember?
This is right. Yeah. The last time you went, you had this sort of like weird journey into the, didn't you do some research on the homeless situation in San Francisco as well? You had all these stats for us and everything.
I remember.
Well, that was really interesting.
I think it might be more of a drug thing, actually.
Right. Okay.
Now I think about it. Because we always stay in Union Square, which is a nice area-ish, but it kind of bumps right up against the Tenderloin, which is this area which is plagued with meth zombies, basically.
Right, yeah.
And drug-addled people.
Yeah, there's songs about that area by a punk band. I don't know if you've ever heard of the punk band Rancid before, who are from San Francisco. I think they actually have a song called Tenderloin, which is about that area.
Hmm.
So look it up sometime.
It's weirdly like American cities are obviously grids, and in a sense that keeps them open, but also it keeps the sort of problems in plain sight. I'm sure other cities, especially like London, other places have areas that you don't really want to go to or walk through.
Oh, come on, London, they're all like famous and like wacky, right? Like Wally Wobbler Square and Wiggle Bottom Precinct and stuff like that. You want to go everywhere in London. Like, I think the problem when you go to London is you don't have enough time to go to all these crazy places. Like, there's so
many. There must be a place in Jersey where you don't want to hang out on a dark night, you know, Sips? Come on. Like, no, down there.
Yeah, is there a dodgy part of Jersey?
A dodgy street on Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. There's like council estates and stuff over here, same as anywhere else.
Really?
I don't want to go anywhere near them, pretty much.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, it happens.
It's society. It's by design. It's the way that it works.
In a way, the grid sort of set up in San Francisco means that if you just walked somewhere in a random direction, there's a good chance you will accidentally end up in a very dodgy neighborhood and genuinely feel like you're about to be stabbed or like someone is about to just grab your phone or someone is, you know. I mean, I walked past, as usual, in San Francisco. I was there for like 5 days. I didn't really have any days off particularly, but you know, in the evenings, occasionally after GDC, I walked to a bar or I, you know, walked to a cafe.
Right.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is I walked into a few dodgy areas by sort of semi-accident, but sort of just semi, you can't really avoid it just because it's all there in plain sight. So here's the highlights of the things that I saw in San Francisco. Great. Woohoo!
All right, cue the music. Okay. Bow, 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 bow. Number one, I saw shit on the ground.
So there's a lot of crazy people, like just drugged up people. I assume that they're a mixture of both. Weird people.
Are they really eccentric, like ultra American eccentric? You know, like what I mean when I say that?
What I mean is, yeah, red eyed, crazy looking, dirty, stinky, crazy hair, yelling stuff at you usually. Or like just interesting shit. So I was walking down one place and there was just on a street. It was sunny, really sunny, and it'd apparently been raining for a week. So it was just like the first day it was sunny and it was hot. It was like 20 degrees. And so the first thing I saw when I was walking down for breakfast was this homeless guy just fully naked, just like on the pavement, just saluting the sun, like, you know, just arms out like Jesus on the cross. Just, you know,
basking,
fully sharing, enjoying the sun, like worshipping the sun.
Right.
Just on the side of the road, you know, totally America, right? Yeah. So I was like, cool. Just walked around him, carried on. And then later on, me and Terps were walking down this road towards Hyde. And so obviously everyone at San Francisco will be like, oh yeah, I know where that is. That's like the Soho. That's like, you know, you'll just see naked people on the street there. Don't worry about it. But it was this black man, and he had like three other guys with him, but they were all wearing shorts. They weren't fully nude. He was like just fully naked, just, you know, dick swinging,
nice,
big dreadlocks, just like big muscles, like a good looking guy, just walking down the street, like, you know, like an everyday street. Like, imagine you were like, you know, just walking down the road outside your place.
Pop to get
and
the paper.
There was just a fully naked man bowling down the street towards you, like wow. So yeah, like that was interesting. And then obviously we did walk down through Hyte Ashbury, which is like this sort of trendy
Hyte.
Don't know how to pronounce it.
Nice.
Had a vegan burger, which was nice.
Ugh,
and
of course you did.
Bought some shoes, and I don't know, looked at all the bong shops and stuff.
Nice.
And stuff, which was interesting. And there's a lot of interesting stuff there. It's all very hipster and interesting anyway. And it just, in the middle of the street, there were like five white guys, all fully nude,
okay, right,
except they were wearing like the tiniest little pouches, like around their dick end balls, like
but you gotta keep your stuff somewhere.
It was so small. It was like, imagine a penny pouch with like two pound coins in a flipping, like, in a tiny leather pouch.
Why are you gonna make fun of their genitals
of this? And well, because like they had these big guts, like big bellies, like hanging out over it. It was
nice.
It was like very, very much.
Are you sure they weren't German tourists?
German tourists.
Yeah, well, German tourists would have like knee-high black socks with sandals on as well. But
they were playing a bit of oompa. Right. Yeah, they had some little trombones.
We're not used to America's bonkers. It's more bonkers than our bonkers. Like, yeah, you see weird stuff in the UK sometimes, but they take it. They really do take it to the next level. Like, you haven't seen crazy people until you've been to America and seen, because everything else seems so normal. You know,
is it because there's more drugs, or like, I guess there's lots of drugs in the UK, though.
I think,
like, you see these people like on spice, all zombied out and stuff. Like, do they have that in America? Do they?
They've got loads of people doing meth and crack and whatever else.
Those are like the traditionals, but I'm talking like, what about like over in the UK, like especially in prisons and stuff, like spice is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they do quite a lot of spice in the States.
Is it like a prison drug over there too, or is it?
No, I mean, it's a street drug here. If you go to Manchester and Liverpool, apparently it's a big problem. Like, that's, I mean, here's the thing. People think about this as some collapse of society. There have always been groups of people that will do whatever the current worst drug you can that will fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like methylated spirits. It was like the purple stuff that you used to clean paint off old brushes. People used to drink that in the 50s and 60s. You used to see them drinking it, like, and they would be, this
and
stuff
they'd
is like
sniff like lead-based paint and stuff,
right, and glue and stuff like that. Like, there's always been
Huff
something.
It's what about
cheap.
The bottom of aerosols as well? Remember, you used to be.
Yeah,
able
that's
to,
another thing.
You used to huff them. Huff car exhaust.
I mean,
as well.
Around here, people do Nos. Like, that's the big thing for the kids around here is Nos.
People are licking on a Pritt stick.
Well, whatever they can get, man.
Sticking Tipex up their nose.
Nice. Yeah, I remember. Sniffing whiteout used to be a scare story for us at school. You know, like, fucking don't sniff the white out. And everybody be like all scared. And we used to just like, dab white out like behind each other's like ears and stuff like that to try to get each other in trouble.
When was the last time you used Tipex or Whiteout?
In primary school. Well, probably high school, actually, I think. Like, you know, sometimes when you have to hand in assignments or whatever, back before you could... well, actually, when I was in high school, it wasn't like ultra rare for somebody to have a computer and like print out their homework or whatever, but it was still very much like you wrote like with a pen or pencil and you handed it in sort of thing. I imagine everything now is just like typed up on a computer and printed out.
My daughter handed in her project on a USB stick and she's 9.
Okay. So yeah, that's nuts.
They're more accepting these
days. My dad sent me a thing yesterday. So they're selling their house and they have to submit like reams and reams of paper. Anyway, I had to sign one of these things.
Right.
And he sent me this thing to sign. And he basically, it was like when you're selling your house, you have to do an inventory and you have to say whether this is coming with the property or staying with the owner or doesn't exist. Okay. And so one of them, for example, was like bedroom 5. Okay.
Populated so my sex dad, dungeon. It's included.
Because we only have like three bedrooms in the house.
Comes with three bitches.
So there was like, so do you know what I mean? So basically my dad had like, basically this whole thing, it was like 3 or 4 pages long. And my dad had clearly gone through and sort of just done it and ticked it all as he seed fit. Right. But then my mum had a look at it and gone, oh, you've done this all wrong. You know, this shouldn't be this, shouldn't be this. So he went through and like Tipexed out all the wrong answers and put it all in again. And
I mean,
so
you
first
can
of
still
all, like,
buy this stuff. Like it, you know, people must still use it because like...
Yeah, but I don't think so. I think he was using one from 10 years
ago.
Well,
that's the other thing. You buy some and you pretty much have like a vial for life, right? Like it's
well,
pretty much a one-time...
Well, you think so, but the quality of it was so shitty that it was like, it was all kind of all flaky and fucked up. Like it was like, you know, it's separated in the tube and he hadn't ever shaken it.
It had lost its panache over the years.
It lost its power. And I could see all the ticks that he'd done wrong, but they were sort of covered in a flaky white kind of scratchable off thing. And I was like, fucking hell, Dad. And then some of the boxes, he ticked like all fucking 3 and then Tipexed out the rules. I was like, how could you get this?
Yeah, but dude,
so
your
wrong?
Dad is like fucking 80 though, isn't he? Like,
I know.
It's
I love
understandable.
It to
Jeez.
It's very adorable.
What
and I'm
the hell
sure
is he
going to
do?
But
he's not going to fucking hand it in on a USB stick. That's for damn sure.
Well, that's... Well, if you say that, I'd probably be able to help him with it, and he'd probably manage it better than he's handling Tipex. But it is certainly a thing from his generation, like that he was obviously like, but if you make a mistake with the biro, it's permanent. Not now with new Tipex. You can delete any mistake, and no one will ever know.
Remember in school where you'd like go over it. You go over it with Tipex or ours was called Whiteout. We'd call it Whiteout, but Tipex.
Sorry, it's the brand name.
Yeah. But you remember like you'd fucking go over something to white it out or Tipex it, and then you'd have to write on top of it and it just looked like such garbage. Like shit would flake off around the ink and stuff, and oh my God.
It was so bad. Yeah. It was never like, and you never waited properly for it to dry. So it would, you always put it on too thick. Man, fucking Tipex. What a shit thing it is.
It's such a shit thing. Wonder, you know, you can get like this tape stuff now. You don't even need to use like liquid anymore. It's like
it's kind of like a
pen and this weird fucking like film comes out of it and
it's
like
strange
perfectly covers like a line in a paper.
Could you
sort
imagine
of
like fucking if we hadn't invented the internet and computers and stuff, how much
better our
like,
lives would be. Oh.
Trees would be cut down.
Man, I was saying this yesterday.
Imagine like we were like living in some sort of steampunk world, right? Where no, everyone printed everything off. Oh my God.
I think the internet's been awesome in a lot of ways, but I think it's just been fucking terrible in a lot of ways too. Like it's really a fine balance of like utter garbage and just pure brilliance, isn't it? But like,
yeah,
it doesn't sway like predominantly either way. It's just like,
I know,
that,
I know, I can't
middle.
Live without it. Like,
yeah,
I know,
same,
that
but
if
like,
I have to spend a few days without it, I start to get sort of like, I get weirded out and super bored. Like, you know what I did the last couple of weeks? I read a book, like an old fashioned fucking paper book. I my brother in law got it for me a couple of Christmases ago, and I hadn't got around to reading it. I read it; it was really good. I just feel like my kids read books. Like, I like that. I don't want them on devices all the time because you kind of realize there's no attachment to the earth. You know what I mean? I mean, you hold a thing. Like, you hold a book. It's paper. I like paper. It feels like a natural product. It's nice. You can, you know, you got your bookmark. It feels like you're holding something. And when you finish, you close up the book and you kind of hold it. And it's a thing that you can hold. It's not just some disposable piece of internet trash that you have on a fucking device. I will never read a fucking Kindle. Give me a goddamn book.
Yeah.
I don't care how much progress there is. I want to hold a thing when I'm reading it. I don't want to just leaf, you know, scrolling through with my thing. Oh, yeah, I'm page 180. I don't know why. It just bothers me. Books should be books, goddamn.
Stop it with the progress already.
Okay, one thing I've read this
week. Slow it down.
Which will be a bit weird.
Uh-oh.
Is it more anime? Inappropriate airplane anime?
So I was
it was, wasn't it?
I was browsing, like,
oh,
he's trying to think of something else.
I was browsing Reddit and I found this new fisting.
I'm just
porn.
I'm just gonna go out and say it.
Don't. Right.
I've been reading some Harry Potter fan fiction.
Oh my Christ.
All right. Well, okay, thanks for listening to the podcast this week, everybody. We're gonna end this one early and disassociate with Lewis Brindley altogether off the back of this one. So this will be the last one. We didn't quite make it to 100.
Yeah, we didn't quite make it to 100. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere. Sometimes you just got to take a stance in life. And when somebody says they've been reading Harry Potter fan fiction, it's a blessing in disguise. They've done you a favor. You don't have to find out later on after wasting a lot of time investing into a friendship that is just going nowhere, sort of thing.
Found it on a lie.
Yeah.
So basically, I didn't expect to carry on reading it, but
but as he felt his erection growing firmer.
Listen, so basically there's this fanfic called Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality.
Right.
Okay.
I want to kill myself.
It's like an alternate reality where everyone isn't an idiot, basically. They kind of are more rational. So basically, Harry Potter is kind of this book nerd who goes to Hogwarts and hasn't really had these like abusive parents.
I mean, this is a really perfect example of the internet being the best and the worst at the same time. Like, this is
it is.
This is absolutely a perfect thing to talk about following on from those comments.
But like, so basically, like, the idea is he's like a sort of miniature Ravenclaw Spock kind of character.
What's a Ravenclaw?
Well, he joins Ravenclaw instead
of that?
Gryffindor. It's like the house, the four houses.
Right.
So like Slytherin's the evil house.
I know those guys, and I've heard of the Gryffindor guys, but I don't care about the rest of them.
Ravenclaw are book nerds, and Hufflepuff are, at least in J.K. Rowling's universe,
Wait a second.
Chumps. What?
Did you just say Hufflepuff?
Yeah.
Isn't that a Pokemon?
Yeah, that is. You're right. That is a Pokemon. Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff is the yellow
house. Is there a Geodude house in Harry Potter as well?
Is there a Ghastly house?
Is there a Weedle house?
I love Weedle.
Yeah, me too.
So, the worst. Oh, no. I've got a question for you. You're telling me that one of the clans or whatever they're called in the Harry Potter universe is like
houses,
the nerdy ones.
Did you not have houses when you were at school?
The rest of them are so cool, aren't
that's
they?
An American thing, having like the house Kappa and house.
No, we had one. We
house
had one.
Beta and whatever. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, we had. I mean, this was a thing they
house
brought
egg.
In. They brought them in the House of Egg. they brought them in to encourage competition in the schools, like within the school. I can't remember when they did it, but it was there's a point where there weren't, and then there were. And basically, you're part of your house, and you compete against the other houses. So it'll be like, they're basically red, green, blue, orange, yellow, and something else. And you know, it'll be named after some place. So House Chichester was one of them, and things in the south. You know,
or famous people or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. So that's it. So you're in
Churchill
your house.
House
I mean, that's why the Harry Potter universe did it. But you're telling me, and I know that, like, The Slytherin guys were like the dicks, right? They were like the dicks. But you're telling me that one of the houses was specifically called the booky nerdish house, as if the rest of all the kids at Harry Potter weren't bookish nerds in the first place?
Yeah, because I thought that they were all like nerdy magicians. I thought that was the whole point.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Some of them are kind of more like just...
No.
Like they're supposed to be... I mean, it's very stereotypical to break it down as simply as that, but I think J.K. Rowling doesn't do a great job of
writing a book,
making them that set, giving them that much of an identity.
Has she subsequently come out and said that everyone in house, whatever it was gay? Is that it? Because that's a thing that she does a lot.
That is a thing that she might have done, yeah, when no one asked for.
Just to appeal to be right on.
So Harry Potter, I didn't realise I was talking to two guys who'd never read the books or watched the movies.
I mean, I've been outspoken about this in the past. I've still never gotten around to, and probably never will get around to reading Harry Potter. Or
I'm never
going to
read
movies.
It. I watch the movies because my kids watch them and Mrs. F watches them. So when they're on and it's
my
a Sunday
son
afternoon.
Is starting to become intrigued by the Lego, but knows nothing about it otherwise.
Right, that's his gate.
That might be his gateway into this sordid world of fan fiction. Yeah.
So it wasn't. It's basically it's written by this guy who it reads a lot like someone on r/IAmVerySmart. Do you know what I mean? Like someone who is way smarter than
the human version
of not
Jabba
as smart
the Hutt
as they think they are.
Sitting in his fucking nerd den with all of his Star Wars figurines still in the original packaging and sex dolls and wall scrolls all around him, writing.
Yeah, who's like half half understood and half read a smart book for smart people, and then tells everyone that what he's learned from it as if it's like you know the gospel of Christ,
preaching from like a throne of. Of failure, though, right? Like,
anyway,
lonely,
I'm a big
miserable.
Fan of Harry Potter. I read all the books back in the day,
right?
And I know the story pretty well. I've read it. I think I've read the whole thing through, like, well, at least the first few books I read through like twice back in the day. And I think they're great books, but they do have like these kind of frustrating moments where it's a thing in movies and TV in general where people act in a way that is very dumb in order to keep the plot going. Or in order to leave even a story there. Because if people all behaved rationally, most problems would be wrapped up in 5 minutes flat. You know, they wouldn't go on for seven seasons, you know. But I think something that certain smart shows, I guess like authors aren't always like super smart. You know, most books are written by one person, you know, J.K. Rowling, who certainly
most books are written by J.K. Rowling. That's an incredible statistic.
Well, no, but most I'm using her as an example. Most books are written by one person. They're not written by a group of people or like sometimes TV shows are written by a staff of writers or a crew.
Oh, yeah,
but most books
are
written by one guy. And as a result, they tend to be the better books that they write tend to be stuff that they know about. People always say, write what you know. And if people like, I read some hard sci-fi stuff like Neal Stephenson and stuff, and it feels like people who have a sciencey background can write that stuff well. Whereas J.K. Rowling didn't necessarily, she came up with a lot of stuff, but she there's certain things that are just massively overlooked in her books, and people obviously just have this suspension of disbelief that they're like, oh, okay, that's maybe not a thing. But this guy who's writing this fanfic kind of addresses those things and ties them in to the narrative as if, so it's kind of like it's a rewrite of Harry Potter, almost feels like, in a sort of narrative universe. And it's as if Harry was this kind of, was just a bit smarter with people, or in fact a lot smarter with people. He's kind of like he's portrayed as this incredibly smart 11-year-old who can kind of rationally argue with people and make them not just do things that are stupid. And do you know what?
This sounds like
I found it very
riveting.
Readable. I'm sorry to share this with you, but it's like, do you know what this is like? It's like a kid coming home to his parents and telling them about that, this latest thing he's into.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I like that too, son. You know, it's like, you guys are showing no interest.
It's
and
hard
don't worry,
because
I don't expect
First of all, if you fucking watch the Harry Potter movies, I don't know about the books, but I know the movies are based on the books. I watched them with my kids, and every time something happened that was clearly lifted from Lord of the Rings, I pointed out, this was straight from Lord of the Rings. Like, the whole thing is straight lifted from Lord of the Rings. The dude even looks like Frodo in the movies, right? The only thing he's got is he's got glasses. The old wizard who's kind of helpful. Gandalf, Dumbledore, right? Then there's kind of like the henchman-y guy who's kind of gruff and he's like Gimli, kind of. Then you've got the lad that was imprisoned, what's his name? The guy who's Gary Oldman's character, I can't remember anyway.
Sirius Black?
Yeah, he's kind of like Aragorn and shit, you know.
You don't actually know how that, so that's actually even addressed in this fanfic. Like, Harry talks to Dumbledore about how he doesn't want to be Frodo and Dumbledore's Gandalf. They have a big chat about it because in this fanfic and universe, people are aware of popular culture, believe it or not. Like, there's none of that is normally addressed in Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, do you know why? Because kind of she like doesn't want to let the cat out of the bag. She hoped nobody would notice. Also, like, here's my other problem with this kind of corrective fan fiction is this guy's obviously a massive fan of the Harry Potter stuff, right?
Yeah,
but obviously,
clearly,
these books were written for kids. Sorry to break it to you guys, they were kids' books. And they're not going to cover all the bases that you as an adult reading back at them, you're going to be annoyed by some of that stuff. It's like watching an old TV show you enjoyed as a kid.
The first one was definitely written for kids, but I think the second one was not written for little kids. And from then on, it was written for young adults. I think that you'll find Harry Potter more often in the young adult section than
which is another way of saying teenagers. Sorry.
But you could also, but you should have a look through the young adult section. There's a lot of death and sex and adult themes in there. It's not all like fucking, you know, the big pink mouse walked out onto the road today.
Those are little kids' books. But what I'm saying is that, when you write these books, like Twilight, I think, is like a teen book, right? It's a book for kids.
Yeah.
The audience is not expected, which is kind of condescending, I think, to run the same level of expectation over the prose. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be written in this flowery language, as long as the story's cool, like all the, what are those ones called with Katniss Everdeen or whatever it is?
Hunger Games,
shit. So there were these, the teen audience, when I was a teenager, I'm sure I would love those books. I read books that, looking back at them now, they're garbage. You don't put the same expectations of, hang on a minute, why would they do that? And that doesn't seem consistent. You just read the book, oh, you just devour it. You know what I mean? The way kids watch TV shows, they just devour them. It just washes over you. And this guy has now gone back, he's reread the books probably for the billionth time. He's like, how come Harry Potter lives in the modern age, but he never mentions anything that's happening? He never mentions bands, he never mentions movies, he never mentions Lord of the Rings. I'm going to correct that, because that way it'll be more palatable to people who are now adults and reading the books. I think that's what it is. It's like, it's not correcting the books, it's correcting the reader and helping them out by saying, all that stupid shit that bothered you when you read Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, bingo, I'm going to fix it for you.
Yeah, I don't think it's correcting necessarily as much as addressing. But also, like, man, I just found it, I didn't expect to, I've only read like about 10 chapters, but I thought that, you know, I didn't expect to read past the first one, honestly, but I was just interested in what it was about.
I thought it was going to be sexy stuff when you said fanfiction.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that stuff out there as well.
I would normally just assume that fanfiction is sort of like, you know, always, I think it always starts off meaning well and trying to like not conform to like the stereotypes of fan fiction, but then can't help itself and then devolve somehow into like a sexy time with your favorite characters.
How disappointed were you, Lewis?
Normally don't really engage in that sort of activity.
You know, it's someone posted on the Reddit the other day saying that they can't look at Mercy and Elsa in the same way anymore.
Who's
when they're
Mercy?
Watching
from Overwatch?
You know, because of the TTT characters that Shin and Duncan have.
Oh,
of their
There's Elsa. There's Elsa porn.
Oh yeah, my
there's,
god!
There's everything porn if you look hard enough for it.
My friend told me about it. I feel like anything. Like, I don't think Harry Potter is a kid's book. We've been through this a million times, but in the same way that I think it's pitched out there in the middle of the road, right? In the same way that a lot of place things are pitched out there in the middle of the road so that young people can play them or watch them, like not everything has to be like a dramatic thing with rapes and murders left, right and center and horrible stuff being happening, people being tortured. You know, not everything has to
be that.
But
it's not about the topic necessarily. It's about how it's
written. In the same way, you could say that World of Warcraft's a kid's game, right? And Marvel's a kid's game, and Star Wars, and all the superhero movies are kids' movies. And honestly, like, I think that some of them skew younger than others, but
yeah,
I think most of them are just thrown down the middle of the road. And I think Harry Potter has more of a reputation amongst people who haven't read it that it's for kids, but I think that it definitely flies down the middle of the road. And it is like a universe that so many people are very attached to and follow. And I think that the fan audience around it is still huge. You know, I went to Harry Potter Wizarding World in Universal last year. It was a really nice thing to do as a fan, like just to kind of see that. Like, I think that when you've read, like in a sense, the same way as that Lord of the Rings, I don't think Harry Potter skews any younger than Lord of the Rings does, but I enjoyed going to Hobbiton when I went to New Zealand because I'd read the books, I was familiar with it. I'd played a bit of Lord of the Rings online. I'd put enough time into the Lord of the Rings universe to be attached to it and feel like it was an enjoyable part of my life. And so, yeah, I think that you shouldn't dismiss things as that's for kids. In the same way that, like, I think that you shouldn't dismiss recommendations for for things that you might not like because you haven't tried. You know, I think the movies, obviously, if you've watched them and you hate them, then that has given you a pretty good picture. I'm telling you off.
Things are just so fucking so incredibly hyped by people as well that it puts me off. Like, I don't know.
My kids,
if too many
it.
People tell you something's good, then you're like, I don't want to drink that Kool-Aid. Yeah,
I just think,
what you
like,
mean.
If my kids really like it, how good can it be? That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's probably all right.
But at the same time, look at Resident Evil 2. Like, you gave it a good go. It wasn't for you. You that's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's the same thing with this thing. Like, if I read the first chapter and I got totally turned off, I would have been like, meh,
That's true.
I'll quit.
You gave it a bloody go. And good on you for reading Harry Potter fan fiction. I didn't think I'd ever say that, but good on you.
Yeah,
thanks,
I mean,
man.
Thanks for taking
for
the hit.
For fucking putting yourself out there.
You should read more.
I can hear the sarcasm in
fiction.
Your voice.
You should read more holy fan shit. Fiction and do like a, you know, instead of playing a new game every day, because you're going to run out of games. Like, you're probably already scraping the barrel with some of these games. you should do like a fan fiction report instead. You know, do something you really like. You know, read some fan fiction. And then honestly review it and see, you know, and give people a heads up. You know,
thing,
this is
right?
one worth checking out.
The internet, you know? Allows the community to work together on something. So I get the feeling that this fanfic has been, the guy who put it out originally, I don't think it was written very well in sort of British English or in J.K. Rowling sort of style. So it wasn't really very readable. But I think the community embraced it and some guys helped edit it and tidy it up and other people added jokes and took jokes in. And it's kind of become this more of a community project to make something. And those collaborative things are what we often live off of. Like, you know, we play, the main channel these days plays modded Minecraft, you know, Gary's mod and modded Minecraft and community made creations. Like, you know, some of the best content that I've ever played in gaming is stuff that's not made by the devs. You know, the GTA maps that we do are all made by custom people.
If I may,
go for it.
There is a huge difference between modding a game, which is something that even if I've modded the game, I can still play it and my experience will be different, and fucking crowdsourcing ideas for a book and writing it as a collective. The reason that you get one person to write a book, and that's the best way to do it, because you want their voice and you want them to really say something, and sometimes it's going to upset or it's not going to appeal to one group of people, but it's really going to appeal to another group of people. I don't want a fucking book by committee. And honestly, I think that's the worst possible way to do it. And there's a reason that all the greatest art in the world is made by like a very small number of people working together, or one person, not like fucking 30, 40 nerds on the internet rewriting Harry Potter. Get the fuck out of here.
I think you're right. I think you are 100% right on that, actually. But I think that at the same time, like, I think that some people have different levels of expertise. Some people know about this thing, or some people know about different areas of science. Some people don't know about different areas.
Do you know
of,
what
like,
it reminds
the
me
world.
Of? Having this collaboration reminds me of the Zyborn clock. Do you remember the Zyborn clock?
Oh my god!
That sounds familiar. What is
Johnny
it again?
Five Aces and stuff? So this was.
It always comes back round.
It always
to
comes around to the Zyborn
awful.
Clock. So this is a super old. This was from something awful at like
the
early
Johnny 2000. Five Aces thing, right. I remember.
So
yeah, I don't...
there was this idea, these guys on something awful were going to get together and make a game. And it was going to be a JRPG style game about this thing called the Zyborn clock. And after a while, you couldn't tell what was the original stuff that was going to be in the game, because there was a big subforum dedicated to it. And there were all these guys saying they were going to make it, and none of them could do any coding or anything because they're all just kids. And they all had this terrible ideas. The writing was awful, like so, so bad that the parodies of it became, you couldn't tell. They were so good that you couldn't tell if they were actually part of the original design or if they were like jokes about the original design. It was so unbelievably bad, you wouldn't believe it. So somebody made a mock-up of the Zyborn clock as a game, and all the drawings that people came up with. It's hilarious. It kind of reminds me of the Zyborn clock, that collective.
In a sense, like, but that is itself entertaining stuff, right? Like, a lot of people can, you could see why if someone comes up with, like, so basically what he did was one of the chapters, he actually compiled like a list of the best community sourced bits, and it was like a paragraph like by like 20 different people, and like it was just basically the same scenario of like Harry wearing the sorting hat and something different happening every time, and everyone had written their own little paragraph or two on that, and it was really interesting just to read through that as a kind of non-canon chapter in the middle of the fanfic that was like community suggestions of funny stuff, like curated though to like the best ones. And or the ones that he liked the most, or the ones that fit most in his canon. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like it was a nice thing to have, and the Zyborn clock was a cool idea. Like, it was funny. Like you said, it was hilarious. Like, it was a positive thing to have. I mean, obviously it never became anything. It never made into anything, but there were probably different reasons for that. I'm not saying that I don't think we should shut down creativity wherever it forms.
I'm
sure those people enjoyed that experience. They learned a lot from that experience. It was a positive thing. It wasn't just mindless, you know, sniffing Tippex and fucking, I don't know, going just begging on the street like a crazy meth addict. Standing naked, saluting the sun.
I got one more thing before we wrap up, all right? Before we fuck your balls. So I took a bath the other day, and the plug in my bath, it has like this twist thing. You twist it, and the thing comes up. It's like, you know, some plugs, you just pull like the plug.
Right,
this one has like a mechanism that like pushes the plug up from underneath.
Yeah, it's I've like seen those. Yeah, sure.
So the mechanism ceased to function. So for like 2 days in my bathroom, there's this bath just filled with like my gross like fucking man residue. With this water that just couldn't drain away. We just couldn't get the plug out, right? And then slowly over the course of 2 days, it turns out that like maybe the plug is not as airtight as we thought it was, because the bath slowly drained out, leaving like this gross fucking film and like all these like pubes and stuff, like all over, but we couldn't rinse it out because the plug was still stuck, right? So this morning, finally, I get the plug out and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm trying this thing, twisting it. And I noticed that, like, once I finally get the plug out, I had to use a screwdriver to, like, pry it out. But I couldn't do it when the tub was full of water. Like, it would have been gross. I didn't want to ruin my screwdriver. So waited for it to empty out, pried it open. So I'm twisting this thing, and I noticed the mechanism is still working. And inside, like, the plug hole, it's just filled with, like, this gunge. And I think it was, like, creating, like, a vacuum seal, the gunge against the plug. So I wiped all that shit out, and then I noticed that the actual plug itself had a screw in the bottom of it so that you could like adjust the height of the plug, right? So I made it higher so that the little mechanism is just a little like lever underneath that pushes the plug up. I made it a bit longer so that it would connect better, sort of thing. And then I did like a test run. I filled the tub up. So I was happy with like the length, put it in, filled the tub up a little bit. Fucking work, it's working better than ever now, boys.
Perfect.
Yeah,
good shit.
So
my immediate thought was, oh, it's just a bit blocked up with hair, but then I realized who I was talking to.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, the thing is, like, I'm missing quite a bit of hair on my head, but it turns out that I'm like a fucking ape on my body. I've got a lot of hair, so like when I take a bath,
it's all just migrated
it
down.
It just fucking
downstairs.
Is everywhere. It's nuts. It's like it's like when you give a dog a bath or whatever. There's just like, you know, fur everywhere, sort of thing. That's what it's like.
They don't know how good they have it, those mutts.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't. You know, it's true.
You never see a dog go bald on the top of its head.
No, it's
what's up with that?
Yeah, they never go bald on the top of their heads. I don't know what is up with that, but yeah. So so that was my bit of DIY.
I'd like to see
for
male pattern baldness on a cute little papa.
2019's DIY complete. Hopefully,
good shit. Good shit.
DIY in 2020 will be a little less involved.
God, you know, I love to hear a little bit of DIY. I love to hear about a little bit of DIY.
Yeah. Fucking thank you for that, Sips.
No problem.
Good sign off.
Great little thing to end the.
Yeah. That was the most interesting part of the podcast.
Just wanted to end it lighthearted, you know, after all that real talk about Harry Potter. Yeah, just thought it was like
sorry
a little bit too heavy.
Sorry about that. Like,
hey,
I don't know.
Listen,
it was
you talk about what you want
to
talk about. If it's not interesting to me and Sips, that doesn't mean it's not going to be interesting to the people out there, the folks at home. They're hanging on your every word about this Harry Potter
stuff. Yeah, maybe they are. Yeah.
But check it out.
Unfortunate for them if that's the case. Yeah.
Might like it.
Cool.
All right. See you next time.
Good
everyone.
Podcast, boys. See you later. Thanks,
bye.
Everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.